Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Verse 28, Translation and Commentary by His Own Grace, Śrī A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. My Lord, I consider your Lordship to be eternal time, the supreme controller, without beginning and end, the all-pervasive one. In distributing your mercy, you are equal to everyone. The dissensions between living beings are due to social intercourse. Kunti Devi knew that Krishna was neither her nephew nor an ordinary family member of her paternal house. She knew perfectly well that Krishna is the primeval Lord who lives in everyone's heart. As the super soul, Paramatma, another name of the Paramatma, feature of the Lord, is Kal, or eternal time. Eternal time is the witness of all our actions, good and bad, and thus resultant reactions are destined by Him. It is no use saying that we do not know why and for what we are suffering. We may forget the misdeed for which we may suffer at this present moment, but we must remember that Paramatma is our constant companion, and therefore He knows everything, past, present, and future. And because the Paramatma feature of Lord Krishna destines all actions and reactions, He is the supreme controller also. Without His sanction, not a blade of grass can move. The living beings are given as much freedom as they deserve, and misuse of that freedom is the cause of suffering. The devotees of the Lord do not misuse their freedom, and therefore they are good sons of the Lord. Others who misuse freedom are put into miseries destined by the eternal Kala. The Kala offers the conditioned souls both happiness and miseries. It is all predestined by eternal time. As we have miseries uncalled for, so we may have happiness also without being asked, for they are all predestined by karma. No one is therefore an enemy or friend of the Lord. Everyone is suffering and enjoying the result of his own destiny. This destiny is made by the living beings in course of social intercourse. Everyone here wants to lord it over the material nature, and thus everyone creates his own destiny under the supervision of the Supreme God. He is all pervading, and therefore He can see everyone's activities. And because the Lord has no beginning or end, He is also known as the eternal time, Kala. Mane jam kala nishanam anadhi nidhanam vibhum samam charantam sarvatra bhutanam yam yathakalihi. O jnanatiyam tasya jnanam jana shalakaya chakshurudhritam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. Ande guru nisha bhaktam visham visham utarakam tat bhutasham satat chakti krishna chaitanya samhitam. Vande shri krishna chaitanya bhaktananda samhitam gaurodiya pushpavandam chitroshan vachanam Pantitavakam Krishna Bhakta Rupa Sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhaktashyam Virachavidasayatitaya Paramatmani Vala Bhadra Sumantrabham Jagadavayatayi Maha Jayatam Surya Pandorana Vandana Jibhivat Sarasura Bhoja Radha Madhumano Vidya Vrindaranya Kavudu Mahasrimadana Two days ago, I was speaking with a Muslim who was, we were talking about the nature of God, and he told me that Moses had asked to see God, and God said that, well, the earth cannot, doesn't have the power to support me, that even a tiny fraction of my being that the earth cannot support, and to demonstrate the lower mountain. But here we see that Kunti Devi is speaking to Krishna, recognizing that he is Anadiyatana Vibhum, the beginningless and endless God, who is all pervading, he is eternal time. She recognizes the tremendous difference between him and her, that he is infinite, infinitely great, and actually she's also infinitely great by her connection with him, because she's a great devotee. But intrinsically, she is only a very tiny before Krishna. But this is the part of the greatness of Krishna, that his greatness not only in power. Generally people consider God so powerful, blow up a mountain, because they were angry and blow up a mountain, and looks down at the people on earth and curses them all, and sends them all to hell. He's so powerful. You better be afraid of him. Pretty nasty guy when he gets angry. He gets angry quite a lot. So this is the, it's actually a materialistic concept of God. That's why Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he didn't actually like to use the word God very much. Prabhupada also used the term Supreme Personality of Godhead. The term God, that brings the Christian conception of whatever that, they themselves are not very clear in their concept, but the vaguely defined concept of some nasty old, well, very merciful old man cursing humankind to go to hell forever. So, not very loving. You say love God, but love him with you, love him trembling. Yes, I love you. Don't send me to hell. Allow me to enjoy my beef burgers in peace. This is their concept of God. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna, of course, he is God, but for devotees like Kunti Devi, not so much concerned with him being God. She's his aunt. She's not very distant, she's very close to him. So, understanding he's the Supreme, but at the same time, well, after all, he's my nephew. So, she's very intimate. It's a very intimate relationship that someone can be the nephew. It's an extremely intimate relationship, and that she's situated in that relationship is her greatness, and it is Krishna's greatness, more than Krishna's greatness being inherent in his being the Supreme Lord of all that be, who punishes the sinners and who creates, maintains, and destroys everything. More, his greatness is more apparent in that despite his being great in that way, he comes very close to his devotees who approach him in love. Therefore, Kunti Devi herself is so exalted into a position apparently superior to that of Krishna. And there, the neophyte theists become bewildered. She herself says in the next verse, Naveda Kachit Bhagavan Chikirshita Taveha Nasya Nunam Vinamana. It is bewildering that you are the Supreme Lord, but that you perform human like pastimes. And they'll say, well, how can anyone be the father and mother of God? It is a logical impossibility. God means supreme, but then how, and God means the origin of everything, then how can he be the son of anyone? And son means subordinate. So it is bewildering how this can be so. It is bewildering to the neophyte theists who perceive God only as the Supreme. Their relationship with Him only as the Supreme. And although they talk of love of God, they are actually very far away from love. They very materialistic concept of love. Just like, for instance, they say, well, God loves us so much that He's given us all the animals to eat. See, very nice. He loves us. Because they have no actual love, they conceive of love as someone loves me if they give me sense gratification. This is in modern Indian society, we see so many divorces, especially in love marriages. You think of it, it's a love marriage, then why did they divorce? They came together because of love. It's love, I just feel in my heart. It's love. They never know what love means. They think that, well, this person is just perfectly suited for me. For me. It's perfectly suited for me. And therefore I love them. Because they give me a feeling of great sense satisfaction. But everything in this sense gratification is temporary, especially when it's more intense. The more intense it is, the less long it lasts. So if we base our love on how much someone will give me sense gratification, then it's likely to be terminated very soon. That's why no one's surprised. No divorce will happen. Love marriage. No need to say anything more. Because there's no solid basis. Similarly, the idea that we shall love God because He gives us sense gratification will become terminated if we see that He doesn't give us sense gratification. Isn't it? Because there's no actual love. They say love is forever, but love in this world is not forever. It ends either by divorce or death. So, Prabhupada gave this example. His one god brother, Sadananda, is from Germany, and he didn't fight in the Second World War because he came to India shortly before it, and he spent the Second World War in a series of concentration camps in India. And after the war was over, he was allowed to sail back to Germany, and he found the male population especially decimated. And the remaining population, which had previously been quite theistic, at least lip service to God, because Hitler's Nazis, they weren't much inclined towards Christianity because they thought it was tainted by Judaism. But anyway, the culture of Germany for the last more than 1,000 years had been one of Christianity. So people in general believed in God, but when he came back he found that people in general didn't believe very much in God because they're mostly women, and the women had prayed, "Dear God, send back my father. Dear God, send back my husband. Dear God, send back my brother. Dear God, send back my son," and he didn't send any of them. So, there's no one. You see, I prayed to him, he didn't give me anything, and he's useless. What's the use of having such a God? So their understanding of God was simply based on what can He do for me for my sense gratification? This is not love, and therefore the Shastric analysis is that there is no love in this material world. Which immediately, if that comes into practice, if that comes to be widely accepted, then the whole Bollywood industry will be finished. And we hope so as soon as possible. Because it's all nonsense. I mean, it's just super nonsense. It's all based. This happiness or love in this material world, that is described by Sri Prahlada Maharaj as. Sukha-shuta. How is it? I myself. Anyway, that which is heard of as being happy. Someone says, "Oh, this is very, It will make you happy, just like the advertisements. Drink Pepsi, you'll be happy. Oh, really? Oh, okay. And Sachin Tendulkar also says, okay, must be true. He's an authority. Arjuna, he doesn't say okay, I'll drink it. Where's the happiness? Oh, it's supposed to be happy. Okay. Shuddha Sukha. We others say it should make you happy, so we think, oh, okay. It makes me happy. Everyone else is happy. We also have to pretend they're happy. We don't know that everyone else is pretending because they're thinking that everyone else is happy. I have to show it. Actually, everyone's only pretending. Because there's no happiness in Pepsi. There's no happiness in winning the test match or losing the test match. It's both. There's no actual happiness in any of it. There's no happiness in the so-called love of this material world. It's just imagined. Generally, young men, they want to get married for, there may be various reasons, but there's one particular reason. And then afterwards you ask yourself, okay, so you found out it's very cause of great happiness? No. Shuddha Sukha, just imagined happiness. There's no actual happiness there. So this Bollywood industry is based on massive imagination, how everyone will be happy by love. But there is no love in this material world. We are very busy chasing the imagination of love. Srimad Bhagavatam teaches us how to love by giving the practical examples of how Krishna loves his devotees and his devotees love him. An example of materialistic love given in Srimad Bhagavatam is that of Hiranyakashipu for Prahlad Maharaj. Hiranyakashipu did not understand the principle that, as described here, Krishna is time. He thought he could become eternal by trickery. He didn't know or didn't accept that the time principle is Krishna, who is always more powerful than him. He thought, by tapasya, I shall overcome the influence of time so that I do not have to die. By tricking Lord Brahma into giving me boons, I shall overcome the influence of time. But he didn't realize that the boons given by Lord Brahma were, Lord Brahma is himself governed by time, he himself is not eternal, and he gave boons for residing within this material world, which is also not eternal. Therefore, when Lord Brahma said, I cannot give you the gift of being eternal, Hiranyakashipu was overly intelligent, which means foolish, in thinking that he could eke out the boon of being eternal by tricking Lord Brahma. But he didn't realize that Krishna is time, Krishna is eternal, no one can escape the influence of time. So he made for himself a great kingdom, and he thought, well, I shall enjoy my kingdom with my sons, I shall train up my sons to be like me, a great demon, and in this way we shall expand the ocean of demoniac happiness by having sons who will join me in oppressing the pious citizens of the universe. So he therefore dispatched Prahlad Maharaj, giving to school, giving him the best education. Why should he give him anything but the best, being the king of the universe? The best teachers at the best school, and Prahlad Maharaj, as a dutiful son, went to school, and in the recession time, told his friends, my dear friends, sons of the demons, everything you've been taught is a bunch of rubbish. Listen to me, I will teach you about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So when Hiranyakashipu heard about this, He was very upset. And his love was seen to be not unconditional, because his love for his son was based on the condition that you be a great demon like me. And his love soon turned to the greatest hatred as he tried to kill Prahlad Maharaj. In other words, one who attempts to kill another is attempting to take the position of Kala, the supreme controller in the form of time. But as we all know, Hiranyakashipu was frustrated in his attempt to kill Prahlad, and he eventually had to admit that Prahlad has greater power than me. Prahlad had greater power than Hiranyakashipu because Prahlad had taken shelter of Krishna, who is supreme time, and no one can kill one who Krishna does not want to be killed. Rakhe Krishna Marike, Marie Krishna Rakhe. No one can kill who Krishna wants protected, and no one can protect who Krishna wants killed. So Hiranyakashipu, he thought, I am fully protected by my own might. But Krishna wanted him killed, and his own might was not enough to stand up against Krishna. Whereas Prahlad Maharaj, everything was done to him by Hiranyakashipu. Every possible manner of attempting to kill him was undertaken. The demons are very expert in killing others. So he went through the whole book of how to kill others, all the different methods, and none of them succeeded, because Prahlad could not be killed, because the supreme time did not want it. Now, it may be questioned that, well, Hiranyakashipu, he loved Prahlad, but when he saw that Prahlad was not a follower of him, he wanted to kill him. So isn't that like Krishna, who loves the jivas? But if the young follow him, then he sends them to the material world. Does it? Here, Kunti Devi says, Samam charantam sarvatra, that you are equal in distributing your mercy to everyone. And Krishna himself says this in Bhagavad Gita, Samaham sarva bhuteshu namedveshu sinabhyaha. I am equal to all, Krishna says. I neither hate anyone nor love anyone in particular. But then he appears to contradict himself by saying, Ye bhajanti tumam bhaktya, maiteteshu chakriham. But one who approaches me in devotion, I reciprocate with him. And elsewhere in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, describing the demons, he says that, Murajanmanijanmani, I dispatch them to the lower species of life, birth after birth. So, is not Krishna just like Hiranyakashipu? He loves those who follow him, and he punishes those who do not. What is the intrinsic difference between Krishna and Hiranyakashipu? Actually, it was on this point that my Catholic upbringing at about the age of 12 led me into temporary atheism, because they taught me that if you believe in God, then you go to heaven, and if you don't, you burn in hell forever. So I thought, what kind of a God is this? He's not, I don't like that fellow. My own father, he's not God by any means. But if I do something wrong, he punishes me and gives me another chance. He doesn't burn me forever. What kind of love and mercy is this? So later I realized that, well, God does give us another chance. He doesn't burn us in hell forever. He gives us another chance, any number of chances. Therefore, there must be what is called in English reincarnation, punarjanma, birth after birth. God gives us a chance. So, how is it that we can say God is merciful if He punishes us? So, in this regard, there is a story that Srila Prabhupada told of a man who was brought up by his aunt, who, out of misplaced love for him, never disciplined him. He was allowed to do whatever he wanted. As he grew older, he fell into bad company and became a dacoit. As a result of which, in due course of time, he was captured and sentenced to death for all his nefarious activities. So, as he was public hanging, and as he was standing in front of the gallows about to be hung, he was asked, "Well, is there any last words you'd like to speak to anyone?" And he saw his aunt snuffling in the crowd. He said, "Please call her up, I'd like to speak to her." He was tied up like this, and she came up, and he wanted to speak to her. He said, "Please come very close, I'll speak in your ear." She came very close to her ear, and although his hands were tied down his back, he couldn't do anything else, but he bit off her ear. And in her other ear, she said, and spat out her ear, and said that, "I did that because it's your fault that I'm here today. Because you did not discipline him. You did not teach him what is proper and improper." So, the Lord, His punishment is for the sake of rectification. He does not reject anyone. But if the jiva desires to enjoy separately from Him, he comes within the atmosphere of kala, of time. Kala is that which destroys. When Arjuna asked Krishna, "Who are you on the battlefield? Who are you?" "You is Krishna." He's been with him, very intimately living with Krishna. That Sarveti Bhakta, I was lying on the, "And you are my friend, I call you my friend. Hey Yadava," I told him, "Hey Yadava, hey Sakha." We were lying together on the same bed. He knows who is Krishna, but he asks, "Who is Krishna?" "I don't know." Even this says, Kalas, I am time, who destroys everything. So, Kala, Krishna is Kala. In this material world, Kala is that which destroys everything. It is said that in the spiritual world there is no time. Actually, there is time, because in the spiritual world, in the material world, time is that which destroys everything. Time is that in which the jivas, they go through different transformations of suffering. They take different positions of suffering. But in the spiritual world, time is that which facilitates the loving pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Because in the material world, time is that which facilitates the jivas impossible to fulfill, durasha, impossible to fulfill desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. So because the jiva desires like that, Krishna gives the opportunity that, all right, you enjoy. You want to enjoy? Okay, enjoy in this material world. I'll give you the opportunity. But the only problem is that there is actually no possibility of enjoyment in this material world, because enjoyment means to be with Krishna. So there is no possibility of enjoyment in this material world. But to facilitate that perverted desire, Krishna manifests the material world. And very mercifully, as Kala gives him facilities for enjoyment, and very mercifully takes him away so that he can at some point understand that there is no enjoyment. Even what I imagine to be enjoyment, it's everything's taken away. Therefore, I should find out that happiness which is not constricted by time. In this material world, we tend up to look up to. We are awed by a person who has got Janna, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shri. If we find someone is very highly placed in human society, if the Prime Minister of India was to walk in here now, which isn't very likely, it's just an example, we'd be awed, huh? The Prime Ministeress has come. Or if a very rich person, the richest person in India, and we're told, lives in Bangalore, at least in terms of declared funds, the richest person in India lives in, is that right? Is he still the richest? He's still the richest. So it's also not very likely that he would walk in here. But if he did, he'd be, we are very rich or very highly placed. We are Bill Gates, very rich. But it's actually pathetic that someone has got power, position. It's actually very pathetic because it will be over in just a second. Time will come. The time will come. And it won't take very long when it will all be finished. Maybe India will go on, but and the Prime Ministership will go on, but it won't be that same person occupying the post. Maybe,
is it Wipro or something?
Maybe Wipro will go on, but minus just the picture will be there or the statue. So it's pathetic, like I was saying this morning. No one is young and no one is. The 20-year-old person is an old man because he just close to death. It's going to come in a few days. And the old man, he's also a young man because he was 20 just a few days ago. So what is young and what is just a flash? Time. Cut, 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 cut. From what you speak of Mahavishnu's perspective, even Lord Brahma, if he sees what is our life, he'll have to see it in slow motion. Because in terms of his one day, for us it's like thousands of lifetimes. You'll have to put it, if he wants to see it, you'll have to put it in slow motion. Because just like you see these movies, they film a plant growing and then they speed it up thousands of times. So it comes up like this. And droops down. So we see in 20 seconds the life of a plant which goes over like 2 years. You've all seen this kind of movie, right? So in our life also, you can see just if you speed up the film, that little baby, and then growing up a little bit, and then studying, and then hat on your head, this flat hat on your head, got my degree, and going out to work, getting a job, becoming successful, developing a big business empire, dying. Just finished. That's the movie. Then, next scene. Scene two. Boom, boom. Now he's a dog. Same thing. Growing up, little puppy. And then, looking for bones. Growing old. Boom. And then die. And the next time, this is it. This is material life. Time. Time destroys everything. But we take it so seriously. We take it so seriously. Big business empire, got the phone, another phone, make an appointment, so many things. Managing a big business empire. And we take it so seriously. Playing the cricket match. Everything we take so seriously. I have to get a new dog and I have to see what is its pedigree, looking after it, taking it for a walk, very soon find a book on dog care. Some of them like that, they disconnected the mic. Don't keep dogs at home. Your dogs will help, according to Shastra. Those who keep dogs in their home, dogs will help. Just to go into mention. If you're thinking of dog, keeping a dog at home. So this flashlight, we take it so seriously. Bhutanam Kalgi. We fight with others, we argue with others, not understanding that time should be properly utilized for understanding Krishna. If we don't utilize time for understanding Krishna, then we are simply passing our days before passing on to another hellish existence. We talk about hellish existence, but the whole material world is hellish. It is full of suffering because we are not with Krishna. What is the suffering in this material world? Is it the pain of a broken marriage, or is it the pain of being whipped in hell, or the pain of toothache, or the pain of giving birth without anesthesia? The actual pain, this pain is given by Krishna. This punishment is arranged by Krishna just to wake us up to the fact that we are actually suffering because we are not with Krishna. That is the real suffering. And Krishna arranges this minor suffering because we think that pleasure means enjoyment of the senses. Therefore, Krishna arranges for pain of the senses just to wake us up to the fact that we have nothing to do with sensual pain or pleasure, that our real life is to be with Krishna. And therefore, Krishna is time that destroys everything in this material world, so that we can wake up to the fact the time may come when we can associate with pure devotees of the Lord like Kunti Devi, who can give us information that time is meant to be spent for glorification of Krishna. Punya, what is that? We should always remember that everything in this world is temporary, and therefore Kuru Punya Ahoratra, perform pious activities day and night. Pious activities, real pious activities, if we understand that everything in this material world is temporary, then real pious activity doesn't mean those pious activities which promote us to a temporary position in the spiritual world. Here, punya clearly means those activities which take us beyond the material world to the spiritual world, where we can join in the devotees in serving the Lord in his Ashtakalin Lila, his eight pastimes which take place in eight phases of time. So we should understand, what is time? What is the value of time? Srila Prabhupada pointed out that even materially, those who are successful, they understand what is the value of time. They don't waste time. You won't find Premji. I doubt if you'll find him daydreaming, or looking at the ends of his toes, or playing tiddlywinks, or any such thing. But he utilizes his time for building his business empire. So, in the same way, one should understand what is the value of time. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they showed the prime example. Sankhya Pur Pratandama Dhanati Kalava Samani Kato. They utilized their valuable time in chanting the holy names of the Lord, Nidra Hara Vihara Kadi Vijito. They minimized, or by their absorption in hearing and chanting about Krishna, they minimized and actually conquered over eating and sleeping. They thought this is a waste of time. And let me utilize my time for hearing and chanting about Krishna. Those of us whose time is robbed by Wipro and others working for multinational companies that steal our valuable human life into working to maintain this useless body, this body that has no intrinsic value, we should very much know what is the value of time, that whatever little time they give us, they mercifully allot us. Okay, you're going to have 2 days off a week. Don't complain. Don't strike. So, and then whatever time they allot us, we should utilize it very carefully, very conscientiously for hearing and chanting about Krishna. This is the proper utilization of time. If we want to please our boss, we should put in more hours, isn't it? If you want promotion, and you have to put in more hours, then they'll think, oh, he's a very sincere worker. Promoted. Higher class only. So, we should desire from Krishna promotion to the status of being accepted among the particles of dust that is lotus feet. We have to put in some time. Time is required for performing bhakti. Then Krishna has given us the very easy method of chanting His holiness, but we have to take the time to do so. We have to take the time to study Bhagavatam. We have to take the time to reprogram our consciousness so that we can think of Krishna. We require to hear and chant about Krishna, because if we don't hear and chant about, if we don't utilize our time and plenty of it for hearing and chanting about Krishna, then necessarily we'll be caught in thinking about Krishnetara, everything that is not directly connected to Krishna. So by recognizing that Krishna is the supreme time, Kunti Devi is giving us very valuable instruction, and she herself, by offering this prayer face to face to Krishna, is demonstrating how to conquer time, how to conquer the pernicious influence of time by entering into a pact of love with Krishna. That Kunti Devi, she is not conquered by time. We are all conquered by time. Mrityu Sarva Harashchana. Time takes away everything. But as Kunti Devi describes, that Krishna is available to who? Twam Akinchana Gochara. You are available, Krishna, to those who have nothing in this world. To you are the property of those who have nothing but you. So, if we have nothing but Krishna, then Krishna will not take Himself away from us. Rather, if we have nothing but Krishna, Mrityu Sarva Harashchana, in the form of time, Krishna takes everything away, but for those who have nothing but Krishna, then Krishna will not, there's nothing for Him to take away. Therefore, He will find that, yes, this is the proper person to give myself to. So, for the devotee who has no interest but Krishna, Krishna in the form of time is not a ghastly, destructive feature, but rather time is very pleasing. Now it is time for me to meet Krishna. Prabhupada described that the same death, which is so fearful for the materialist, for the devotee, death means it's just like going to sleep. And when you wake up, you're in the Lok Vrindavan with Krishna. So, Krishna, yes, He takes everything away. If a devotee is attached, he is attached to Krishna, but he maintains some material attachments, then Krishna, very mercifully, takes him away. So that there is nothing else. Now I have nothing but Krishna. All right, Krishna, you won. I surrender. That's what Krishna wants. You have that. We have nothing but Krishna. And when we have nothing but Krishna, then we have got everything, because there is nothing but Krishna. But the devotee is different to the Hiranyakashipus of this world, who want everything without Krishna, which is not possible, because Krishna is everything. They want to enjoy everything, not recognizing that Krishna is everything. But the devotee, he only wants Krishna. And although Krishna can offer everything, what do you want? Do you want a kingdom? Do you want to be Lord Brahma? Do you want money? Do you want all beautiful women? What do you want? The devotee says, no, Krishna, I only want you. And to that devotee, Krishna has no choice but to give himself, because he has become conquered by the love of the devotee. Just like Kunti Devi, she was praying to Krishna that you don't go away. Who can hold Krishna? He is all powerful. Now it is time for Krishna to go away. Krishna, also within his lila, he does according to certain time. So now, although he's the controller of time, he accepts the certain times to do different things. So now it's time to go to Dwarka. His family is waiting for him. He's away for a long time. His family, 16,108 families, are waiting for him. But Kunti Devi is praying, don't go away, stay here. Krishna has to stay. He's captured by the love of his devotee. So this, in this way, this is captured in Srimad Bhagavatam. What is going on here? That Kunti Devi is offering her prayers of love to Krishna. She knows she's the supreme time, but she is not afraid of Krishna. She's not afraid, oh, you will destroy everything. She's not afraid of that. The Tulsidas, he gives the example that the mighty river in flood washes away even great powerful elephants. If an elephant somehow enters the flooding river, he will be washed away, even though he's so powerful. But the little fish swims upstream against the current, against the same current that washes away the great elephant. The fish is not as powerful as the elephant, but because the fish has taken shelter of the river, there was full freedom to move. Whereas those who try, who are not, they're not suited for that atmosphere, they simply wash away. So we have to become suitable for entering the atmosphere beyond time. We have to become suitable that as long as we are thinking, I have got something in this material world, then we become eligible to the destructive force of time. But when we realize that I have nothing in this world, everything belongs to Krishna, I belong to Krishna, then we are, time cannot act upon us in the matter of destroying everything, because we don't have anything. Then we become eligible to enter the eternal pastimes of Krishna in the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this?
Time?
Time is there, yes. It's, sometimes it's said that there's no time in the spiritual world, but that means there's no material time. Time is there, but like I said, time in the spiritual world that facilitates Krishna's lila. Whereas time in the material world facilitates the attempts of the jivas to imitate being Krishna and the suffering that they bring upon themselves by doing so. Is there day and night in the spiritual world? Yes? Again, for facilitating Krishna's pastimes. Krishna likes to dance in the moonlight. Moonlight means that. Natan Pasa Ayatanisuri Nashasham or there's no material sun or moon or wind in the spiritual world, but there is the spiritual sun and moon and wind and everything else. Alright, well, that's time to end this lecture. But we should know that this Bhagavad Katha, that is eternal. It doesn't, this Bhagavad Katha, it is, actual Bhagavad Katha means that it is directly linked to the world beyond time. Now they have this science fiction movies of you're in one dimension and you go through some space-time tunnel and you enter another dimension. So this is it. Chanting and hearing about Krishna. It carries us from this dimension to that dimension because Bhagavad Katha, Bhagavad Nam, all these, that is the descent from the spiritual world to within the material. That's why if you're actually absorbed in Krishna consciousness, you don't feel the influence of time. The old man becomes young. We're growing younger every day in Krishna consciousness. Now it's time for me to present how I've been utilizing some of my time in the service of Srila Prabhupada by writing books on his order. And it's time to request you to help me in this service to Srila Prabhupada, help to bring it to its fruition by taking some of these books which I've written. Many of you have seen many of these books, but some of you have.